Come, all who are thirsty, come to the waters. And you who have no money, come, buy and eat. Come, buy wine and milk without money and without cost. Why spend money on what is not bread, and your labor on what does not satisfy? Listen, listen to me, and eat what is good, and your soul will delight in the richest of fare. Give ear and come to me. Hear me, that your soul may live. Welcome to Springs of Living Water with Pastors Ray and Jan Greenlee.
We must examine our position before a holy God with great earnestness. Do you believe that Jesus came in the flesh to die on the cross, and on the third day rose in glory? Are these truths most precious to you? Are they real to your heart, or are they just concepts you believe to be true? Do you have a personal Savior who saves from all sin now? Or have you bought the lie that you must sin until the day you die? You can listen to Pastor Ray on Springs of Living Water, and then you listen to the next broadcaster, and he's going to tell you something totally opposite. Springs of Living Water, you're going to hear the gospel proclaimed that Wesley believed. You're going to hear the gospel proclaimed that the early church believed. You're going to hear a very straight, unvarnished message about the need to carefully examine your position before a holy God. You're going to hear about an earnest seeking after Jesus. You're going to hear about the wonderful change that God is willing to make in your life. You're going to hear about the cost of that change being made in your life. You're going to hear what the conditions are. You listen to the next broadcast, or the next broadcast, or the next broadcast, and you're going to hear a totally different gospel. You're going to hear a gospel that is no gospel at all. You're going to hear that you're going to sin until the day you die. You're going to hear that if you have a broken arm and you go to the doctor, he'll set the arm, but when you go home, you still have a broken arm. And so he'll say, you're going to come to Jesus with your sin, with your sinful nature, and you're going to leave. It'll be bandaged. You'll be comforted. But you're still going to have the sin nature, and you're still going to walk in sin. Those are two absolutely opposing gospels. You're going to hear from Pastor Ray and Pastor Jan that the atonement of Jesus was not God punishing God. You're going to hear that what happened on the cross was not God beating up on God, that it wasn't a matter of punishment, that Jesus didn't take our punishment on the cross. He didn't suffer for all the sins of the world on the cross. That's penal atonement. That's not the gospel you're going to hear Pastor Ray and Jan teach. We're going to teach instead that Jesus died as the Lamb of God, the sacrificial Lamb of God, whereby turning the wrath of God away from the human heart that would surrender to him and that would be transformed and changed into his likeness. You're going to hear about governmental atonement. It makes all the difference about what you believe actually happened at the cross. What did Jesus do for us on the cross? And in the coming weeks, we're going to go into great depth about what Jesus actually did for us, why he died, and what he did for us when he died, and what he did for us when he was resurrected, and what he's doing for us right now in the heavenly realm. You're going to hear from the others. A gospel that says you're powerless to stop sinning, you must just do the best you can do, that all of your past, present, and future sins have been forgiven, that God took all of the suffering, he took all of the wrath, he took all of the punishment from God, and so now you're set free and you can live in your sin, you can walk in rebellion as long as you've accepted Jesus, you're saved. You're going to hear an incredible difference. Now, you need to be clear that as you listen to these differences, you understand what they are, and you understand what your true relationship with God is, what your position is before a holy God. Because if you trust a pastor who says you can continue to walk in sin, in fact, you have to continue walking in sin, the power of the blood of Jesus is not adequate to save you from that power of sin. You're only going to be saved when you die. So he's saying that death is your savior. That's when you're released from sin. You need to understand that when you hear these things spoken, they have consequences. And of course, the greatest consequence today is that all of America has followed after these reformed lies. Out of Dallas Theological Seminary, these lies have been pouring now for over 20 years that you can continue to walk in sin. Reformed church turned away from holiness. These have consequences because today, now in America, everything in the American church is permissive. We believe in the unconditional love of God in the American church. We believe that everybody saved who confesses the name of Jesus. They're forgiven, but they're no different from the world. And so you can go to church and you can walk as the world walks. Dr. Jim Dobson has time after time reported on his Focus on the Family broadcast that as he has done careful polling, he has found that there is no measurable difference between the person who says, I'm a Christian, and the person who says, I am not a Christian, in terms of how they spend their time, how they spend their money, where they go on vacation, what their recreation is, the television shows they watch, the movies they watch, the games they play. There is no measurable difference between those in America who say they're Christian and those who say they're not Christian. The only slight difference would be that those who say they're Christian have a higher incidence of divorce than the pagans have. And so this is the fruit that is being borne by this gospel that says you can only continue in your sin, you cannot be released from your sin. And so there are very serious consequences. And if you're going to trust yourself to this lying gospel that says you have to continue walking in your sin, the power of the blood of Jesus is not adequate to break the bondages over your life. If you believe that lie and you come to the final judgment day, are you willing to face the consequence of being cast out of God's presence as an evildoer? Isn't that what Revelation says? This modern church lie is that there is only one sin that can keep you out of heaven. They say the only sin that can keep you out of heaven is unbelief in Jesus. But let me read to you what Jesus says. Revelation 21, let me begin with verse 6. He said to me, "It is done. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end." When he says, I am the Alpha and the Omega, this is Jesus speaking. He says, he is the beginning and the end. To him who is thirsty, I will give to drink without cost from the spring of the water of life. He who overcomes will inherit all of this, and I will be his God, and he will be my son. But wait a minute. The lying gospel that you're going to hear in the next 30 minutes and in the next 30 minutes and so on through the day, this cheap gospel of the American modern church, they're going to tell you that you do not have to overcome your sin. In fact, you can't overcome your sin. But here's Jesus, and he's saying, he who overcomes will inherit all of this. It doesn't say he who is possessing my righteousness as a gift that he doesn't really have, that's a shell game. That's not what Jesus is saying. He's saying, he who overcomes will inherit all of this, and I will be his God, and he will be my son. But now listen, Jesus is going to enumerate one by one the sins that will keep a person from entering into the kingdom of heaven. Verse 8, but the cowardly, it seems to me that it's cowardly of a person to say, the blood of Jesus cannot set you free from your sin. That's a cowardly statement. To say that a person must always walk in the brokenness of their wicked human nature, and that that human nature can never be eradicated from your life, that you're always going to be caught in it, it seems to me that that fits the definition of cowardly. And then it says, the unbelieving. Oh, so here we have what the modern American church pastors who believe in the Reformed doctrine of John Calvin, these people say that the only sin is not believing in Jesus. But already Jesus has said the cowardly are not going to be in the kingdom of heaven. Then he says the unbelieving, and then without any change he continues, the vile, the murderers. And remember, Jesus said if you've been angry with your brother, you've already killed him. Remember, Jesus said if you've looked at a woman lustfully, you have already committed adultery. That fits, because next he says the sexually immoral, those who practice magic arts, the idolaters and all liars, their place will be in the fiery lake of burning sulfur. This is the second death. So Jesus is saying that those who are lying, now let me be real straight. If a man says to you, you cannot stop sinning, the power of the blood of Jesus is only to forgive your sins and leave you in your sin until the day you die, that man is lying. And his place, regardless of how smooth his words, that man's place will be in the lake of burning sulfur, receiving the due punishment for his lies of leading astray God's people. He will be assigned a second death. Now, these are very fearsome words I'm speaking to you, but these are not my words. These are the words of Jesus at the end of the book of Revelation, where he says we must overcome. Jesus would not tell us we must overcome our sin if the modern preachers were right that we can't overcome our sin. How could Jesus tell us that our entry into his kingdom at the end of time will be based on overcoming if, in fact, we can't overcome? Then none of us can be saved. Oh, I want to tell you, I'm going to show you today the way to eternal life. There is a way you can be saved, and it's not by works, and it's not by toiling. It's not by struggling. It's a glorious and wonderful way that you can be saved. But I want just to finish up quickly with this passage. You note it's the cowardly, it's the unbelieving, it's the vile, that is, those who are given to cursing, those who are given to uncleanness, those who constantly are diving into pornography, those who love the wickedness of sports and television and the wicked entertainment of the world, the dress and the culture of the world. All who love this wicked, vile world will be cut out of the kingdom of God, regardless of their claim that they are a follower of Jesus Christ. The murderers, that is, those who are bitter and angry, who will not forgive, they'll be left out of the kingdom of God. The sexually immoral, those who practice magic arts, the idolaters, that is, those who set up money as their idol. Can I be very straight? The idol of the American Christian church is the Baal god of prosperity. It's the Baal god. It's about money. And these big mega churches require huge mega budgets, and they don't want to tell you the truth. They don't want to tell you that you must overcome your sin. They're afraid you'll flee. Oh, I tell you today, flee. Run. Run. Run for your life. Run from these liars, because their place will be in the fiery lake of burning sulfur. This is the second death. You see why I opened this broadcast today by saying, We must examine our position before a holy God with great earnestness. There are such deceivers that have gone out across America. Deceivers who are teaching gospels that are no gospel at all. And if you look in Matthew, turn in your scriptures to Matthew, the 7th chapter. Listen as I read this. Verse 15. Watch out for false prophets. They come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ferocious wolves. By their fruit you will recognize them. In other words, do they bear the fruit of righteousness, or do they bear the fruit of wickedness? If they come telling you that you cannot leave your sin, that you're going to always sin, then know they're bearing the fruit of wickedness and they are a false prophet. This was Jesus' warning at the very end of time. He says, do people pick grapes from thorn bushes or figs from thistles? Likewise, every good tree bears good fruit, but a bad tree bears bad fruit. A good tree cannot bear bad fruit, and a bad tree cannot bear good fruit. Every tree that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. Thus, by their fruit you will recognize them. My brother, my sister, if there is no fruit of righteousness in your life, you will be cut down and cast into the fires of hell. This is not my word. This is not fire and brimstone. This is what Jesus said to us. And he goes on, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but only he who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. And they're saying to us today, you can't do God's will until you die. You can't do God's will. So they belittle the shed blood of Jesus. They belittle the atonement of Jesus. And they have lie stacked upon lie. They use words like justification, grace, atonement. They use these words and they freight them with meanings that are not biblical meanings. And they lie to us. He says, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but only he who does the will of my Father who's in heaven. Many will say to me on that day, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name? Oh, these false prophets, they're prophesying over the radio. They're driving out demons. They're performing many miracles. They're teaching wonderful, wonderful things that they call truth, but it's all a lie. If you listen to any preachers who are telling you that you cannot leave your sin and be transformed into a new creature in Christ who can walk without sin before God, Jesus would call that person a false prophet, and he would say that person who is teaching that lie will be put in the lake of burning fire at the end of time. This is not my word, this is the word of Jesus. Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name and in your name drive out demons and perform many miracles? Then I will tell them plainly, I never knew you. Away from me, you evil doers. Literally in the Greek, you lawless ones. And remember, in 1 John, he said that sin was lawlessness or evil doing. In other words, if you're believing in your heart that you can be lawless, that you can be rebellious against the Most High, that you can participate in evil because you've heard preachers say this to you, you've tried, but in your flesh you've not been able to live a victorious Christian life. And now you're coming. And you're saying, well, I guess I just won't be changed until I die. I guess these false prophets are right. Understand that you will be cut off from heaven. You see, Jesus does not say, away from me, you who have not accepted me. He does not say, away from me, you who never put your trust or confidence in me, that my righteousness would cover you. He doesn't say that. He says, away from me, you who are committing sins. You who are walking in evil, you who have no victory, you who cannot overcome, leave me, depart from me, I don't know you. But then he goes on, therefore everyone who hears these words of mine and puts them into practice is like a wise man who built his house on the rock. The rain came down, the streams rose, and the winds blew and beat against that house, yet it did not fall because it had its foundation on the rock. But everyone who hears these words of mine and does not put them into practice is like the foolish man who built his house on sand. The rain came down, the streams rose, the winds blew and beat against that house, and it fell with a great crash. Is your life going to fall with a great crash at the end of time because you trusted a gospel that is no gospel? You trusted the word that said you could continue walking in your sin and you were all right, you were safe, you were unconditionally loved by God. Is that the lie that you have heard, and have you built your house on that sand? If you have, your house is coming down. I urge you today to reconsider. I urge you to examine your position before a holy God with great earnestness. It's not enough for you to believe that Jesus came in the flesh. It's not enough for you to believe that Jesus died on the cross. It's not enough for you to believe that he rose on the third day in glory. The devil believes those things, and yet he's utterly condemned. These truths have to be personally applied. You have to have a personal Savior who saves you from all sin now. You can't buy into this lie that you must sin until the day you die. Are you willing to search for a way to God that will heal your broken and twisted sin nature? Are you willing to stop covering up your wickedness? Would you be willing to spend every penny you have? Would you be willing to go from one end of the country to the other on a great search if only you could find a man who would show you the way to eternal life? And if you found the truth, would you be willing to face it fairly and squarely and count the cost? The cost might be that you'd get thrown out of your church. The cost might be that your wife or your husband might leave you. The cost might be that your family would cast you aside and curse you and call you insane. The cost might be that you would lose your job and your home, everything you hold precious. Weigh it carefully. On one side you have Jesus and the cross, and on the other side you have all that you hold dear. Are you willing to let those be weighed in the balance? And which are you going to side with? Which will you choose? If you follow the true gospel of Jesus Christ, as found in the Scripture, you will lose everything. Jesus said in the Gospel of John, in the 14th chapter, verse 6, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. And so have you entered into Jesus? Have you honestly looked at your position before God? Are you willing to search for a way for God to come and heal your broken and twisted sin nature? Are you willing to stop pretending and stop covering it up? Are you willing to spend every penny you have? Are you willing to go from one end of the country to the other if you could just find a man who would show you the way to eternal life? Are you willing, if you found that truth, are you willing to face that truth fairly and honestly? Are you willing to face that truth and count the cost of what it would mean if you gave up your life, If you gave up all that you hold dear, if that's what it costs to find Jesus, are you willing to pay that price? Is Jesus more precious to you than gold or silver? Is Jesus more precious to you than anything else? Are you willing to lay everything on the line for Jesus Christ? Are you willing to take positions of abiding in Jesus, where you will walk in obedience to His command by the power of the Spirit, by the power of the blood poured out for you? Are you willing to do it even if your wife doesn't come, or your husband doesn't come, or if your family curses you, if you lose your job, if it costs you everything? There's only one way to eternal life, and that way is Jesus Christ. And when He says you must become an overcomer to enter in, then you must become an overcomer. There's no shortcut here. I know we Americans always want a shortcut. We want an easy way. Jesus said it was a narrow path. He said it was a suffering gate. It's going to cost you everything to follow Jesus. Are you willing? Will you lay your life down at the cross for Jesus Christ? Are you willing to enter into Jesus? Are you willing to enter into life? Or are you still dying in your sin? Will you embrace the cross of Jesus today and be changed into a new person? We're going to talk about this out of the book of Romans. Paul is a man who, if you'll listen to carefully, and if you'll take the child's simple definitions of all the words he uses, if you're willing to look through the lenses of honesty and not apply the meaning to words that is a false meaning, but you're really willing to look at it as though for the first time, the Apostle Paul will teach you how to go into eternal life. He'll teach you how to enter by the cross. He'll teach you how to walk faithfully with Jesus. He'll teach you how to have your heart filled with love, how to overflow with the Holy Spirit. Will you today embrace the cross of Jesus? Will you today be changed into a new person?
I'm Pastor Jan Greenlee. We pray that you've been awakened today by the Holy Spirit to a hunger for Jesus and His holiness. If you need someone to pray with you, call 703-490-8723. That number again, 703-490-8723. Write to us at the National Prayer Chapel, Post Office Box 2346, Woodbridge, Virginia, 22195. That address again, Post Office Box 2346, Woodbridge, Virginia, 22195. To receive a copy of today's message, visit our webpage, nationalprayerchapel.com. If you want to get right with Jesus and experience His joy in your heart, come worship with us on Thursday evening at 7:30 p.m. and Sunday afternoon at 2 p.m. at the Grace Lutheran Church, located on the corner of Prince William Parkway and U.S. 1 in Woodbridge, Virginia. At the National Prayer Chapel, you will find Jesus, the bread of life.